We thank the Lord, my brothers and sisters, for a new day where we can gather together under one spirit, under the grace of God, under the tree of life that is anchoring us and covering us with the beautiful anointing that is so satisfying that nothing in this world can satisfy us as much as the anointing of the true spirit, of the free spirit of God. There's nothing greater in this world that can give us peace and rest, such as the undefiled bed of Christ. His bed is truly undefiled. It's holy, without blame, made perfect in love. And this is the bed where we seek our rest. But unfortunately, we have a bed in this flesh where we are being drawn to and we are being enticed to sleep in daily. And we read this in the prophet Isaiah. He says in chapter 28, verse 20, "For the bed is too short for a man to stretch himself upon it, and the covering of this bed is too narrow to wrap himself in it." Yes, we have an anointing of lust that is never giving us the warmth of love, that is too narrow for us. And this bed that is defiled and filled with lust and corruption can never satisfy us to sleep in. It's too short for us. This is the bed of the flesh that James speaks of. In James 1, verse 14, he says, "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away after his own lusts." And we know that lust has a voice and an anointing that is speaking through this flesh. This flesh has become so empty and so desolate. It's become filthy and an abomination unto the Lord. And Jesus said in Matthew 24:15 that when you see the abomination of desolation, which means emptiness and destruction, when you see these things spoken by Daniel the prophet, "Stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand." We thank the Lord for giving us the enlightening in our eyes to be able to understand the words of the prophecies. For no scripture is of private interpretation, but we are in need of the Spirit to interpret the new tongues of revelation. We know that Jesus used to speak forth with a new tongue that the world had never heard before. They were confused by his tongue when he spoke to them and told them that this temple will be destroyed and resurrected in 3 days. They thought he was talking about a literal temple, but he was referring to his body. And they were not able to understand his speech. Even Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 43, he said, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." The speech of our Lord is too deep to comprehend without the Spirit. His speech contained mysteries that the flesh could never comprehend. It takes the interpretation of the Spirit to understand and hear his word. And we thank God for giving us the Spirit, the anointing, the true covering that is able to teach us all things, remind us of all things. That is our true rest, the bed that is undefiled, that is fit for us. But there is another bed that is trying to entice us to sleep with. And we read it in Proverbs chapter 7. Let us open Proverbs chapter 7 from verse 10 to verse 22. "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and a subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house." So here we can see that there's a harlot woman, and this is the mystery Babylon, the mother of all harlots, the mystery of iniquity that is hidden in this flesh. And it has a subtle heart, and we know that the heart of man is desperately wicked, for this heart has an anointing of lust, trying to seduce us, entice us, to lay together in the bed that she is preparing, in the bed of this corruption, of this filthy flesh. And we continue reading in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 11, that she is loud. And this is contrary to the Spirit, for the Spirit has a still small voice, speaking sweetly, beautiful, lovely things to us, and not by force, but by the true desire that makes a tree of life grow inside of us. Amen. That is the true desire that each son of God has, for he came out of the original seed, and he will go back to where he came from, for he is not of this world. He is of the original word that has produced and multiplied words of spirit and life. The Lord has multiplied seeds in heavenly places reserved for us. And that's why we are to look up, like Abraham was made to look up to the stars above. And we know that each star differeth in glory. And we each have a morning star reserved for us, seated in heavenly places, that our Father will give us to those who overcome, to have that morning star, to have Christ. Just as Jesus was called Lord and Christ, we shall be called lords and Christs, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. We will inherit that name. We will inherit that body of Christ, that spiritual body, where there is no emptiness. There is only satisfaction in the pleasures of eternal pleasures of God. In that holy land, in that holy city, and these white stones, where we will receive our new names, we have the true pleasure, the true satisfaction that no man can give. But then we see the flesh trying to seduce us and entice us to go backwards, to be drawn away from the love of God, to enter back into youthful lusts. And look what it says in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 13, or verse 12, it says, "Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and said to him, I have a peace offering with me. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, and aloe, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. For the good man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey, and he has taken a bag of money with him. And he will come home at the day appointed." And so with much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And he goeth straight away as an ox to the slaughter. And this is the speech that this flesh is speaking to us. It's wanting us to yield our members unto unrighteousness, adding sin unto sin. It wants us to enter back into the kingdom of darkness, to build the city without foundations. It wants to make us servants unto sin. And we know that Paul said, in the flesh we are servants of sin, but in the mind we are servants to the law of God. So we see that there are two builders in one bed, in one body, in one field. We see two grinding the mill together, as Jesus said. And there's two in one bed. There's the old man who is, after the conversation and after the speech of this enticing woman, And we see the new creature, the new man, renewed after the mind of God, building after the city of God, building the city of truth through the Holy Spirit that is leading him into all truth. And we see these two. One is a builder of iniquity, and one is a builder of righteousness, seeking after the righteousness of God, trying to build upon the foundation that Paul had laid to finish the city in order for the capstone to come and lay his head upon our necks. And we are at the finishing. We are finishing the building. We are the builders to finish the holy city for the capstone to come down and cap us with perfect love. So we thank the Lord for giving us such a city where we can be found building in. But we know that there is another man, the old man, is trying to build iniquity. And we know that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, for it's building in an empty, desolate land where there is no peace. And we have read it. Paul has told us that beware how you build. So we have a mission to complete the building. We have a mission to yield our instruments unto righteousness, unto God. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." And whenever we are under grace, whenever we are yielding forth to the Spirit of truth, we cannot sin. For the new creature sinneth not. The seed that remaineth in us cannot sin. It is only the seed of iniquity that we were born in. Our first birth, our firstborn, is sinning. And this firstborn is not letting us go. But the day is coming when the good man of the house is going to return back from the long journey with a bag of money to repay and to pay the full price of his purchased possession. He has bought this body, and he will redeem this body fully when he comes back. And that is what the enticing woman told the man in Proverbs chapter 7, that the good man is on a far journey. But we know that in the eyes of the Lord, in the timing of the Lord, in the ways of the Lord, is different than the timing of man. For us, it was a long journey. It took 2,000 years. But in the eyes and the timing of the Lord, it was quick. That is why he said, "I am coming quickly." It was as 2 days for him. For one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years for us. And truly he is coming quickly to redeem his prize. And we are that prize. For we are found building in his city, being servants of God, being servants unto righteousness, yielding our members to righteousness. So that is our mission, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And we cannot present our own fruits and our own doings. We cannot present our own ways and our own righteousness, for we have none. The only acceptable sacrifice that God is well pleased with is Christ Jesus. It's the innocent lamb. It's the lamb without blame and blemish. God is not seeing us. He's seeing his only begotten Son. He's seeing the blood of the innocent one. For we are covered by that anointing. We are covered by that blood. That is our true covering. That gives us the holy satisfaction that is stimulating us and drawing us back to everlasting love, back to where we came from. So I admonish you, my brothers and sisters, let us continue in his love. Let us be rooted in his love. Let us strive to build after the inward man, who is after the image of God, who is running after the heart of God. For the old man is running away from God. The old man is trying to go backwards, and it cannot go anywhere, for God will find him, and he will kick him out of this house. And he said, two shall be in one field, two shall be in one bed, but only one will remain, and one will be taken out. And we know that the day is coming when judgment must first begin in the house of God. And the first thing that God will do when he speaks fire through his seven thunders, he will purge the mystery of iniquity. He will purge us from all filthiness in this body. And we will remain alive through the fire, through the holy fire. And we will stand upon the holy place. We will stand because we have built our house upon the rock of ages, and not built our house upon the sinking sands, which is this flesh. Let us be called workers of truth. Let us enter in and boldly claim our land of glory. For we have a land reserved for us in heavenly places. Let us look up toward that city and be a part of that city by partaking in the divine nature. For we know that there are two natures in this bed. We have a corrupt nature and we have a divine nature. But let us follow after the divine one, looking at the mirror of perfection, not at the mirror of lust, but striving for our true youthful love and striving after perfect love that is casting away all fear, removing away all stains from our lives. Let us be seated and rooted under that beautiful tree of life. And we know that within us, we have the seed of life. We have the word of God that is growing into a beautiful tree of life and giving us the covering that will cover away all our sins, for love covers a multitude of sins. And it is by his great and perfect love where we are accepted. And that love is through Christ Jesus. Amen.